Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Yes, indeed. Always brings a smile to my face when I hear the wonderful guffaws of one Blair Kirkhoff. He joins us here on my Sprint guest line. I'm on the road. I'm at Radio Row, Super Bowl 52. As Curtis just told you, Moose out front should have made it pretty clear. Did I just call you a moose, Curtis?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Not necessarily.
It could have been perceived that way.
Yeah.
Could have been perceived that way, but, you know, lovable Marty Moose, Curtis Ebolt, should have told you during the Sports Center. But we are live here at Radio Row. Our coverage here from Radio Row brought to you by the Low T Center, 360 Vodka. Sprint, celebrate the biggest game of the year with the best price for Unlimited. Switch today at your local Sprint store or visit Sprint.com/unlimited. Also brought to you by Bud Light, Central Bank of the Midwest, and our transportation. And the proud sponsor of Blair Kirkhoff's Hour with us each and every week is Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. You can visit him online at robertbrogdon.com. They're Kansas City's number one volume Buick and GMC dealership. The state of Kansas is number one as well. It's Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. GMC, we are professional grade, and we are rolling big time in a beautiful UConn, GMC UConn. Like midnight blue. I'm going to have to look up what the name of the color is. It's absolutely beautiful. Has been great because it snowed on us each of the last 2 days. So popped it into the four-wheel drive, and we've been rolling around town. No problem. So big enough to carry all our gear. Just a beautiful, beautiful vehicle. You can check them out at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Blair, how are you, my friend?
Doing great, Seren. Sounds like a beehive of activity around you.
That it is, Blair. I think beehive is accurate. It gets busier and busier every day. Tomorrow will be an absolute zoo. So I will be thrilled to roll out, I will tell you. Minneapolis has been wonderful hosts. They're very nice. Negative one sucks. There's no way around that.
Yeah.
And I'm basically broadcasting to you from a food court.
That used to be Metropolitan Stadium.
That's where this mall is built. And listen, I like me food.
Sure.
More than the next guy, Blair. More than the next guy. But, you know, there's only so long I can sit and stare at the food court.
So are you who are you in the food vein? Who are you sandwiched between? What cities?
Sandwiched.
I'm between the great country of Italy at Piazza Italian Street Food. Is that what that says? Italian Street Food? And Shake Shack. Melt Shop is also close by, as is Little Tokyo. And what's amazing about Little Tokyo, they sell tacos. Don't get it. Don't get it. But it's what they got, man.
In fact,
it's what they got.
You can go to the same spot where Drew Pearson caught Roger Staubach's Hail Mary and order a pizza.
Do they really have it marked where the Vikings got it stuck right in their ear?
I think home plate might be marked somewhere. There's parts of the old, where the baseball part of the stadium were marked, I thought, when I'm looking at stuff there. But
how about where the official took the liquor bottle over the head?
Armin Turgeon took a bottle to the head at the end of that game, yeah.
I'll have to look. I found out last night, talking to a guy, that there is a fourth floor that has all the bars and restaurants. Like, there's other bars and restaurants that are here, but, like, there's some, like, secret fourth floor where there's like a Hooters and a Dick's Last Resort or Last Chance or whatever it's called. So, interesting. I will tell you, if you go to our Facebook page, our website, right now Cody Tapp and Kyle Huppy are producing a Here's Radio Row video, which has Cody appearing on camera. And they're trying to walk around and shoot Radio Row. And Cody does not have a wireless mic. So the chances that they decapitate somebody who's being interviewed, decapitate, I guess that would be the word, are strong. Because it's jammed and they're idiots with a cord. So
I heard there
look
was,
for that.
I heard there was a fight on Radio Row the other day. Were you there?
Yeah, right after. No, we got here right after it yesterday morning. And I guess it was competing stations from Houston, and they were arguing about who sucks and who doesn't suck, and how long one of them had been an Astro fan, and one was accusing the other guy, that's why you're in a different town every day, and you love to talk about the ratings when you're winning, but it's a flawed system when you're losing. And I mean, they were quite heated.
Oh, good stuff.
And then the worst part is, yeah, the video ends when the guy who's, like, recording it on his phone, one guy appears to be on the radio.
Yeah, that's
the other guy's like recording it.
Yeah, on the radio, and the guy had a cell phone out recording it.
Yeah, and right when that guy goes to like get into it with another guy there, the video stops. I'm like, who stopped the video? Like, we need the ending. But yeah, I was told by Cody to get into a fight with someone today so he could videotape it because he saw how many hits that thing got.
That's right. Exactly. Well, that
Kyle Huppy, Kyle Huppy, who's in charge of our social media, said, "Listen, I need you to go get into it with somebody because that'll really boost our traffic."
And that's what it's all about.
Well, and that's why right now I'm going to go slap Vernon Davis on the back of the neck and say, "Let's go, big boy," and we'll see how it works.
Just make sure that Cody rolls all the way into the ambulance.
Yes. yeah, it'd be two hits. Me hitting his neck, or three hits. Me hitting his neck, him hitting me, and me hitting the floor.
Your hand fractured just from slapping him.
Yeah. It's he is in shape, is I guess the term I would use, Blair. Very impressive. Hey, real quick before we dig into the basketball, I want to get your thoughts on the Alex Smith trade. You, of course, hardest working man in Kansas City journalism, spent plenty of time over there at Arrowhead. What do you think about what the Chiefs got for the deal and what it means moving forward?
From a what I do standpoint, it's going to be difficult but I'm going to miss him in the locker room. He was a great guy to talk to, insightful guy. There was plenty to like about Alex Smith off the field. And the 50-26 as a starter, nothing to second best record, I think, or second most wins as a starting quarterback in Chiefs history. That's going to be missed. But we all knew that Mahomes was going to be the starter. It was just a matter of when, and all the speculation was it would be in year two. I guess my bottom line is, to get a defensive starter in return, I was thinking just, second round at best, hopefully, nothing worse than a third round for Alex Smith. But to get a defensive starter out of the deal pushes it over the top for me in terms of big thumbs up.
I agree. And we're going to try to talk to Ron Jaworski a little bit later on and get his thoughts on how it breaks down. In fact, I think noon hour, is that what we're looking at, Rob? Noon hour?
Yeah, noon hour sounds good.
We feel like it's confident that we'll talk to Ron Jaworski because I taped him already, you see, Blair, to give you a little peek under the covers.
Don't let people know.
It's okay. I dumped it, Rob.
It's literally a line of people that just can't wait to sit down and talk to me. We don't get here 2 hours early and stay 5 hours after. It's just a parade of people waiting to come talk to me. That's what's amazing about it.
And their schedule and ours always works out perfectly. What are the odds?
Perfectly. It's amazing how it all comes together. But anyway, Ron Jaworski's breakdown on Alex Smith and Pat Mahomes is pretty cool. I think you'll enjoy it. But, it's the big talk around here. And I thought one of the things that was interesting, and I think this is it. I remember what the hell I was going to talk about in the open, about what Adam Kaplan said this morning on the Border Patrol. I was listening to him on the app here in Minneapolis, and he said he's never seen a trade done at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So here's my question for you. I got my theory on it. Maybe you heard it yesterday, but I'm not going to give it to you if you didn't hear it. Why do you think this trade got announced when the code of the road is you don't do it till it's time in March? The Chiefs Chiefs-Niners were rumored that the deal was going to get done for months, and it didn't get announced till March when that went down 5 years ago. Why do you think this is out there now?
Well, would it be – and I don't know what your theory is. If you've expressed it, I haven't heard it, but – since it's happened, I've read all sorts of stories about who else might have, you know, wanted Alex Smith, including the Browns and a couple others. And I'm just wondering if there was the Chiefs felt the need to act quickly on this, and they didn't think they were going to get a better offer than the Redskins. So Brett Veach and Andy Reid working, you know, since who knows how long to get this done. And the other thing that I thought was interesting was Alex Smith was making the rounds of all the talk shows there. You know, I don't know, you didn't talk to him, did you? Or he hadn't sat down with you? Or
No.
But he was making the rounds up there and put on a good face. I was wondering what that was about and if that had something to do. Did that play into this at all?
Yeah, me too, because and we're scheduled, and this one we really are scheduled. We actually did tape Kareem Hunt about, you know, half hour before we played it. But we have not yet taped, but we are scheduled to talk to at some point Patrick Mahomes and Clark Hunt while we're here. So I'm really interested in hearing Clark Hunt's explanation on that and how that all got put out there. Because my theory is I think one it I'll give you my Oliver Stone theory here in a second. I think it is possible. There were just so many teams working around that there was no way to keep it quiet, right? If it was going to get out there, and they're like, listen, we can play this charade or we can just fess up to what's going on. To which says to me, why is there a moratorium on it? You know, what's the point? Well, it's not official till the league year. Fine. And they went through it. It was interesting to hear Kaplan this morning talk about, well, yeah, I guess technically the Redskins could back out of this deal, because it can't be official until you get to that point. But when you got contract details done with Alex Smith, I don't think there's any way that this does not come to fruition.
Right.
But why do you have that? Why do you let teams talk if they can't announce it? So I think that's – but my theory on this, part of it is what I wonder is, you know, the Chiefs had empty seats last year. En route to a 10-win season and a second division title in a row, they had empty seats. And I think they knew that the fans have pretty much decided, listen, Alex Smith's good, but we've gone as far as we can go with him. And, you know, got a nice shiny new toy that they want to take off the shelf and play with. And Patrick Mahomes, it was not a popular decision to stay the course with Bob Sutton. May prove to be right, but certainly isn't popular right now. And that this is kind of a PR move. Let everybody know that, yes, we got another pick. Yes, we got a good defensive player to try to help the defense. And, yes, we're turning it over to the kid, because I do think it will absolutely help ticket sales. And I'm wondering if that wasn't what drove the bus.
Well, you're absolutely right in that the mood, even though you weren't in town, but I can assure you that the mood in the city has changed when it comes to the Chiefs because of this. And everything was just a bad vibe since the Titans loss. It hasn't helped. I think everybody outside of, you know, greater Boston or New England's pulling for the Patriots, but everybody else is pulling for Nick Foles. And so you get reminded that he was wearing the Chiefs uniform last year as well. So all these indicators, all these vibes about about the Chiefs season were so negative in the two and a half weeks after the playoff loss, up to a month. But it changed with the news the other night. It absolutely did change, and people are excited. People, you know, and it's a big thumbs up from all the Kansas City, all the Chiefs fans about this trade. And now, I think acting in true Kansas City and sort of Midwestern spirit, there are good feelings about Alex Smith and his time here. Trying to say goodbye to him in a proper way and thanking him for his time here. It did change. It changed the mood of the way people feel about the Chiefs. And as far as selling tickets are concerned, I can't tell you how many people told me after the season that they were done with the Chiefs. Longtime ticket holders, done with the Chiefs. Same thing every year, which is not true. But I get where they're coming from on this. And I wonder if announcing the move when it does, when it happened, changes those people's minds.
I believe renewals are in the season ticket holders' hands right now, right?
I got to think that it happens quickly after the season, doesn't it? Even before the end of the previous season.
Yeah.
Because they tie it to playoff tickets as well.
Yeah, yeah. When I had my tickets, I remember it coming, and I was thinking, like, our first pay. Like, we were done with the payments. I mean, of some people are probably Johnny Rich guy and do it all in one payment. But I broke it up, like on whatever the longest plan was. And I think I was paid off by, like, May or June, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, so I think, like, February, your first one's due. And so, listen, I think the fan base needed some inspiration. I don't think the fans are wrong to have been sitting there going, like, what the hell are you going to do? Like, nobody thinks Andy Reid sucks. I don't think Andy Reid should be fired unless he was just going to bring back the exact same crew and say, oh, no, no, we're going to clean some things up. No, no. You either have to find better coaches or you have to find better players. In a year that you don't have a first-round pick, it's a tough sell to say you're going to get it all done in the draft. Well, now I'm listening. You're going to a quarterback with more upside. You got an extra draft pick, and you got what could very well be a defensive starter, but he's certainly at worst going to be your nickel, and you're better. And I'm in. I'm in. I'm one of those fans that was like, I really don't even want to discuss the Chiefs. Now I'm all about it. Now I want to break down the schedule. I want to see what – I can't wait for the schedule to come out, see what order the games are. I want to talk about where it is. I want to see what the Broncos are going to do with their quarterback. I'm in now that they've done this. So I get it. I get where the fans are. All right, we'll take a break. Blair Kirchhoff is with us. Talk about the Missouri Tigers. Got a really nice win and one that, frankly, was unexpected. We'll start with that next with Blair Kirchhoff. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC.
All right, the financial engines, end of the hour answer. Today is February 1st. What two teams played in the first February Super Bowl?
Ooh.
In fact, there's only been one January Super Bowl since then.
Really? I'm wondering, was that September 11th when the season got pushed back? Was that 2001, or did it happen before then? I'm going to try 2001.
You are correct. Actually, yeah, I think you have the Super Bowl right. It was January 02, right? That's what you're going for.
Yeah, January 02, yep. The 2001 season.
Yep, Pats and Rams. Oddly, it was the first February Super Bowl, and the NFL season was pushed back a week, but that also was one of the weeks they took 1 week out in between. So it would have been February anyway.
So just a week between.
But it was the first one. It was February 3rd, 2002. And since then, in fact, the next year, Tampa Bay and Oakland was in January, and everyone else has been September or been February since then.
Don't try to discredit my win, okay?
Oh, I'm not, but what's funny is that's exactly the way I thought about it. I was like, it's got to be Pats and Rams, right? They delayed the NFL season a week. And then I looked, and it was, and I realized, oh, it was not because of the delay. It was because they just took a week out. It was going to be there anyway.
I also know that is when there was the last really big ice storm in Kansas City.
Yep.
Because I was in New Orleans for all of it. My wife-to-be was not happy that I was chilling in the warmth down in New Orleans. And she was stuck back in Kansas. Actually, sleeping at the hospital. She worked at Research Medical Center. And she was sleeping at the hospital because they were on emergency backup power. And they needed, and people couldn't get to work, and so she was just sleeping at the hospital to make sure that everybody was still getting their occupational therapist. They were all still getting their therapies. So there you go. How about that?
Our power came on that day. Came on the day of the game about 2 o'clock.
Wow.
I also think that was the year of the Super Bowl where Kansas City had the largest audience of a local market, including the participating teams market.
Really?
Because of the ice storm. Because everybody was nobody could go outside that day.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It did like
that's
a cool. 70 or something in Kansas City.
Holy
it was
cow.
Ridiculous.
Wow. We're talking to Blair Kirchhoff. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC at I-35 in Santa Fe. They also handled our transportation up here in a beautiful Brogdon Yukon. You can check it out. The ultimate family vehicle is the GMC Yukon. Also their GMC Sierra pickup trucks. Best pickup truck. If your truck's your office, Brogdon has got it for you right now. Go to robertbrogdon.com for details. Blair, how about Mizzou last night? What did you think? I didn't see that coming. I didn't see them going down to Alabama and getting a win. I actually thought they were in a full-on free fall, and it was going to get really ugly. All credit to Konzo Martin for getting this team going in the right direction. How impressed were you with what they were able to do?
Very impressed. Curtis and I were talking during the break. I kept waiting for him to fade. They got the lead before the first media timeout and never let it go. And I haven't seen that game, not an SEC play from the Tigers. That even the Tennessee game was back and forth, and it was never didn't seem like anybody had more than a 5-point lead in that Tennessee game. But last night, for Missouri to take control of that game early in the first half, got it out to 10 a couple times. I remember it was 29-19 at one mm-hmm. point, and then Alabama cuts it to 2 at halftime.
Which was like that because Missouri had the ball and a 7-point lead.
Yeah.
And ended up only being 2.
So it's 2 at halftime. I think, okay, here it comes. Colin Sexton's going to take over in the second half, and Alabama will get right. And it never happened. It never happened. And that was as it had to be as gratifying a victory for Konzo Martin and this team as they've had all season, just to prove to themselves that, look, when Tillman isn't laboring in foul trouble and when they get decent point guard play, not getting turned over constantly, this is what can happen. And it's made me feel a little differently about Missouri going forward. Now, look, they play Kentucky Saturday, and they could get slapped down, I guess, by the Wildcats. But actually, the schedule is a little more favorable for the Tigers here in the next couple of weeks. It bodes well, I think, for the Tigers.
And a couple of things. One of the big problems, obviously, has been Porter and Tillman not kind of finding their roles and being effective. Last night, they only played 32 minutes combined, 25 points on 12 of 15 shooting. They didn't crash the boards, but even when and Tillman clearly was in foul trouble, he fouled out for the sixth time in 8 games, I think. But he was on the court long enough and to be impressive. And if he can be that efficient, that going forward, it can play 24 minutes a game instead of 14.
Right.
I mean, he showed last night why it's important that he stay on the court, even in a game in which he didn't really stay on the court that long.
No, but when he was on the court, he was so effective. And we were talking about the spin move he had at the end, somewhere in the last couple of minutes of that game on the baseline for the dunk. That was, wow, that's what he can do. And that's, you just want to see more of that.
Right. And you mentioned the point guard play. What did you think of the point guards and how he distributed the minutes and how it all worked out?
I liked it. I like Cassius Robertson being the primary ball handler, and Jordan Geist when he's on the floor, he's the ball handler. But when he's not on the floor, I trust Cassius Robertson to be that guy. Now sometimes that means he's not Missouri's not looking for his shot, and his accuracy, his 3-point accuracy is so important to what Missouri wants to do offensively. And you don't want to do anything to minimize that, but they need him as a ball handler now too. Given what's now that Phillips is out, so here they play the first game right without or did Phillips play? In the, I don't know if did Phillips play Saturday.
I don't think he did.
I think
the suspension I thought came down before that.
Okay, so
I could be wrong.
But they play the game without him, and I didn't see what their turnover count was last night. But
19.
A little high, little too high, but it was a half.
But you know what? It was 19, but it wasn't coming from Geist and Van Lee.
That's right. And that's right. It wasn't coming from them. It was the big guys were committing. And Barnett had a few.
In fact, Geist actually. I mean, he had a kind of quietly a nice night. 5 points, only 5 points, but 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and no turnovers. And that was
that's a heck of a line. That's a heck of a line from him.
Yeah, it is. It is. And now what do you expect when they go to Kentucky? Kentucky's here.
Well, that was, Kentucky may have, after having the really good win at West Virginia on Saturday, they survived the letdown 2 nights ago with Vanderbilt. Came back. Vanderbilt was controlling the game, and I was following that and the Oklahoma-Baylor game at the same time. And I thought Kentucky was ripe to lose, and they almost did. But now the Kentucky's had its scare. I think Mizzou gets Kentucky's best shot on Saturday, and but when the schedule came out for Missouri, this was the game that I think a lot of people pointed toward. This was the game that the freshmen, that Knox and Porter and all those guys talked about. Can't wait to see you guys on February, whatever it is. And so the atmosphere should be the best that Missouri has had for a home game since when? I mean,
opening night.
Well, and I'd go back to Frank Hay just because of the. I'd go back to the Frank Haith era, maybe the Big 12 era. You know, maybe the last KU game. I think the atmosphere should just be crazy in there on Saturday, and maybe that'll make a difference for the Tigers. But now without without Phillips, who I didn't like much as a point guard, but he could give him some minutes. Missouri's got to be extra careful now with the way they play and staying out of foul trouble, and you gotta get the minutes now from Porter, from Tillman, and Cassius Robertson's even that much more important to this team.
And they're gonna need him to keep playing at a high level. It's interesting. I mean, it's a hell of a coaching job if they can get this team into the NCAA tournament. But that was a tournament resume win.
Yep.
Winning at Alabama. That's and if they beat Kentucky, then to me they're again on the inside looking out.
I agree. I think maybe they're. I don't know if squarely on the bubble today is accurate, but I think they would not be on the bubble if they did beat Kentucky on Saturday. And look, Missouri's got some good bona fides right now. Their RPI is good, and even though there's less of an emphasis on RPI, it's still a good it's still a decent indicator of how a team is perceived. And they're in the mid-30s. Mid-30s is a good place to be. It's better than where Kansas State is right now, which is in the mid-60s. But Missouri's in a it looks like they're in a good spot right now. It's there for them to win the games that they're supposed to win. I don't know if they'll be favored on Saturday, but if you win the games you're supposed to win, I think Missouri will be okay.
I love the fact that they're in a six-way tie for sixth.
That's something.
All these 4 and 5 teams.
Yeah. They're in a six-way tie for sixth.
But they've beaten Arkansas, right? They lost to Arkansas down in Arkansas. But
right.
And they've got Arkansas. Arkansas is ahead of them in the standing.
They went at South Carolina.
At South Carolina and Georgia. Then they defeated Georgia. But I think Arkansas is ahead of them in the standing, and Kentucky's ahead of them in the standing, and they play both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are winnable games for Missouri.
All right, yeah. We're talking to Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star. We'll take a break, come back, talk about KU and K-State. That is next. Blair's brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. I'm live at Radio Row, Super Bowl 52. Our coverage brought to you by the Low T Center. Guys, do you know your numbers? Low T Center makes it quick and easy to get your levels checked, covered by most health insurance. Go to lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's health care. Also brought to you by 360 Vodka, Sprint, Bud Light, Central Bank of the Midwest, and, of course, Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, live at Radio Row. Our Radio Row coverage brought to you by the Low T Center, Sprint, Bud Light, Central Bank of the Midwest. Take a new look at what's possible with Central Bank of the Midwest. Visit centralbank.net. Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC at I-35 in Santa Fe, providing our transportation to and from Radio Row and to and from Kansas City as well. Much better trip than hassling with all the boarding and security and everything. Just a very nice ride up here. It was great. And also brought to you by 360 Vodka. Nothing says football like 360 Vodka. 11 delicious flavors. You're covered for all your game day cocktail needs.
By the way.
Yes.
Dark.
Excuse me. Yes.
Dark sapphire blue metallic is the color of your Yukon.
It is. Hold on a second. I got to kick Judson Richardson ass right here for just knocking into my my bag. You know, I'm only on the radio here, Judson. I know you being a radio guy, that wouldn't mean anything to you. I was reaching into my bag for something. He comes and kicks the bag. I get hit in the face by the handle, Blair. Right in the face by this guy. All right, where are you, peon? Over there? Okay, I'll come find you later. I'm going to go ahead and work now, Judson. Is that cool? We're good? I'm not packing up.
Judson Richards, our former AFC West insider.
Go away. Enjoy the cold, surfer boy. Yes. Who apparently landed, he works in San Diego, Blair. He apparently landed and immediately tweeted out, San Diego has arrived in Minneapolis. And then he tweeted, San Diego's ready to leave Minneapolis.
Just as the Chargers were after last season.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's
Where's
exactly
the beach?
How it went down. We'll see what the Surfer Boys doing maybe here in a little bit. All right, let's talk about where the Jayhawks and Cats are. What do you think the not just losing, but the bad showing that K-State put on in their game against the Jayhawks does to their psyche and where they go from here.
You know, when they lost to Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse, we looked at their schedule and saw that their next five games, there was opportunity there. There was Oklahoma and TCU at home, at Baylor, Georgia and Kansas at home. And I thought, boy, if they could win four of those five games, they'll feel a lot better about themselves. This will be a tournament team, and they'll go from there. When they won the first four, you know, now you kind of think, let's get greedy about this. Win them all. You got Kansas coming in. You got all the momentum in the world. It looked like maybe you got away with a little bit of a overlook of Georgia. Georgia played them tough, and K-State felt fortunate to get out of there with a W. So, you know, it just seems set up for a good Kansas State performance against Kansas, and not for a change. Kansas State has won at home over the last five, 6 years. I think they'd. I think Dean Wade win as a freshman against KU in Manhattan. I can't remember now, but anyway, it wasn't mission impossible, and the fact that Kansas State had played him so well in Lawrence just 2 weeks earlier, it just gave you all the reason in the world to think Kansas State would have a chance in that game, and then a Kansas K-State game in Manhattan, the way that we have kind of known it historically broke out. And Bill Self is just, just doubt him, just doubt him and whether Kansas is ready for a game, and they'll find a way to win. And so they controlled that thing, took the Bramlage crowd out of it right away and never let them back in it. And, it was thorough and it was just Kansas State in Manhattan, Bill Self improved to 11-4 at games at Bramlage. Roy Williams was 15-0 at Bramlage, and Larry Brown was 4-1 at Ahern and Bramlage. So why were we caught into thinking that it could be different this time? It's never different. It's always the same.
Is that 30-5?
Yeah,
that ain't bad.
Not bad at your rival's gym.
Yeah, it's. No, I'm with you. We started thinking it was different because we were, kind of getting the feeling that this K-State team was going to be different. Look, I said that it was the biggest game in Bruce Weber's tenure at K-State, right? Not in his career, playing the national championship game with Illinois, that's bigger. But I said it's the biggest game in his K-State tenure. I mean, that was a tremendous opportunity. If he does win that game, all the momentum, you're talking about winning, a conference title. And I know he's got one under his belt, but it's with Frank Martin's guys. This would have been fighting for a conference championship with KU. And Gene Taylor said to me on the radio when we talked to him, I said, what's your expectations for the basketball program? He said, top four and competing, from time to time for the league title. Well, I mean, most people in Manhattan think that he's got a win the tournament or bust edict hanging over his head right now. That thing would have almost punched his ticket, would have had him competing for a league title, which Gene Taylor says he expects from the basketball program, would have been a win against his rival, would have moved him to 500 at home there against Bill Self. Now he's 2-4.
All that lost.
All that lost
because they couldn't adjust to KU's zone defense. After scoring 90 at Baylor and largely against Baylor's zone a couple of games earlier, Kansas throws a zone at them, and they were lost against it. Now, you give Bill Self all the credit in the world for adjusting his defense, and I did think Kansas played a terrific defensive game. The play of Sfi Mikhailiuk, the chasing down Xavier Sneed and blocking from behind on the breakaway was maybe the defensive highlight of the year. And we can talk about Sfi, and I've been wrong about him this year. He has really gotten better. I was down on him earlier in the year, and he's become as important player as Kansas has in that lineup. But the fact that Kansas State couldn't adjust to the KU zone and didn't shoot it well at all, didn't seem to work the ball really well against it, didn't move the ball crisply, and it just Bill Self. It's Bill Self.
So what do we expect from the Cats the rest of the way? Are they a tournament team?
Well, look, they've got it. Now they're going to play a ticked-off West Virginia team at Morgantown on Saturday. West Virginia getting rolled at Iowa State last night. And after that, they go to Texas, and Texas almost won in Lubbock last night. So Texas is getting better. So, you know, Kansas State had won four in a row going into the KU game on Monday. And if tell you what, if this is the beginning of a three-game losing streak for the Cats, I would not be shocked.
Yeah, no, and that's when we said, let's take a snapshot. We're talking about them winning the league title, Bruce being an NCAA tournament team. Let's take a snapshot on where we are, because Kansas at West Virginia at Texas, home for Tech. In 2 weeks, it could be a very different vibe. And that's the thing. He had people in Manhattan ready to, you know, go ahead and have a funeral for Frank Martin, right? To get the fan base behind him, which he has not yet been able to do. And he was on the cusp of doing it. And in 2 weeks, we may be hearing them talk about who they want to replace him.
Yeah,
like that's it was so make or break in that game that I think it's going to be vital that they come back and have a good outing against West Virginia. And do you think they do with West Virginia falling last night?
Well, hearing Huggins' comments after Iowa State, he's really down on his guy, his team. And you know, I keep waiting for West Virginia to play like the West Virginia team of the 15 in a row after the opening game loss, and it just hasn't been that way. I mean, to blow big leads at home against Kansas and Kentucky, to get rolled at Iowa State last night, it's just not the same. Iowa State scoring 90 points on that West Virginia defense. If you can get the ball in bounds and bring it up the floor against West Virginia, they've proven that if that big guy doesn't block a shot, you can get points against this West Virginia defense, and they're not shooting the ball well. So it's, look, let's see if Kansas State can bounce back. They bounced back wonderfully after losing to Kansas the first time and playing a great game against Oklahoma, followed that up with a really nice win against TCU, won at Baylor. So Kansas State has proven capable. Unlike the K-State team of a couple years ago when they beat Buddy Hield in number one Oklahoma and promptly lost the next several games, this Kansas State team at least has proven capable of shaking off a loss and being okay, but it's gonna take step up games from Dean Wade, from Barry Brown, from Snead, from the guys to make it happen. And again, they're gonna be seeing a motivated West Virginia team on Saturday.
Yeah, they are. We're talking to Blair Kirkhoff here in the program. Let's talk about the Jayhawks. Where do they go from here? I mean, have they figured it all out? Now they're ready to play with this four-guard lineup, because it does not look like DeSouza is going to come riding in on a horse and suddenly make this a great double post team. They're a four-guard team, and they're starting to really gel like that. DeSouza is just going to be giving them a handful of minutes the rest of the way, or am I selling Bill Self short that he can actually get DeSouza up to speed quicker?
Well, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I think the idea for him would be if they could, you know, if they can get him on the floor for 3 to 5 minutes in a game and not have him turn it over a couple of times, or not, you know, be where he's not supposed to be, or, you know, just not screw it up big time, then maybe that should be the objective for him. But look what Mitch Lightfoot's done the last couple of games. Really, really nice efforts by him, and I think he blocked three shots in the K-State game. He's been as useful for Kansas these last couple games, seemingly, as he's been throughout his career. And even though Devontae Graham's not shooting the ball well, and he is not shooting it well at all, maybe the minutes are starting to take a toll on him. The play that they're getting from Mikhailuk and from Newman, Malik Newman, and even Legero Vick seems to have come out of his slump a little bit. It bodes well for Kansas. Now, look, people talk about it, Kansas is not free and clear. They're at the halfway point of the Big 12 schedule. Everybody's played nine games, and Kansas has a one-game lead, but they're essentially tied with Texas Tech. You know, Texas Tech is the one that's got the tiebreaker over the Jayhawks, and they're one game behind. It would have been big for Kansas if Texas had found a way to win in Lubbock last night,
yep.
but But it didn't happen. Tech won it at the buzzer. And Kansas is still – they have to go to Lubbock. They're, KU's not free and clear yet. And do I expect Kansas to win the league? I sure do. And I expect Kansas to play a great game in Lubbock when they do go down there. But right now they've got Texas Tech nipping at their heels, and OU's got is one game back and has a tiebreaker over Kansas as well. Although I don't see the Sooners winning in Lawrence when they have to come there.
Kansas is a one seed in bracketology, according to Joe Lunardi.
I don't think they are right now, maybe Duke is the fourth. I don't know if there's a clear fourth number one with Purdue, Virginia, and Villanova, but I don't know if I'd have Kansas there right now. Win the Big 12, win the tournament. It'll end up being the number one RPI conference again because that stuff. Even though they lost the SEC Challenge Series, I think they're firmly in that top one or two RPI conference. So if you win that and win the conference tournament, you're probably going to be a top seed. But I don't know if Kansas is the number one seed right now.
Real quick, when's Shaka Smart start feeling some heat?
Well, but tell you what, last night would have been big for him if they had a nice comeback in that game. If they had Texas had found a way to win. Texas is getting better, though. This is a team that I think is a team to keep an eye on second half of the Big 12 season.
OU on Saturday, he doesn't win that one at his place. He doesn't win that one. It's going to be pretty loud in Austin.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, and ESPN's playing that one up big. Trey Young against Mo Bamba, two of the great freshmen in the country. Should be fun to watch.
Yeah, it will be. Blair, great stuff. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Stay warm up there.
Yeah, I'll do my best. I'll do my best, that's for sure. All right, a lot coming your way here in the second half of the program. A lot more from Radio Row, including Ron Jaworski, his breakdown of the Chiefs trade and of their quarterbacks. That's coming up next here in the program.